Hey friend, welcome to Rise and Shine with Emily C. I'm your host. This podcast is all about rising from the ashes of your past trauma so that you can step into motherhood with a fierceness and confidence you didn't know was possible and become a generational game changer. I'm so excited that you've decided to include me on your journey. Together, we're going to rise and shine. Let's go.
Friends, I am so excited to be here with you today. We are talking about a topic that is near and dear to my heart, and I am so excited to have Melissa Riley here with me as well. She is a clinical psychologist, parent coach, and a mom without a mom. How many of you can relate to that, a mom without a mom? Although grief has been a part of Melissa's life from the age of 4, she was shocked to find that a resurgence of grief would be part of her birth experience. Through her personal and professional life, Melissa has come to recognize that moms without a mom experience grief during the years postpartum and beyond, even if they don't realize it. She is passionate about helping moms without a mom heal through grief, build community, find joy in motherhood, and move from feelings of isolation, insecurity, and overwhelm to a peace and confidence, to a place of confidence, and resilience. Welcome, Melissa. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so excited. It sounds weird to say that about this topic, but I'm excited to open the dialogue around this topic because it is common. When we talk about a mom without a mom, it does not necessarily mean that your mom has passed away. Your mom could be physically absent from your life as well. And it's the same sort of idea. If they are not an active role, or their role is more toxic than healthy, you experience that same grief. It's very, very similar. So, Melissa, let's first talk about what it means to be a mom without a mom and what makes this group so unique.
Well, Emily, first, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I'm really excited to talk about this with your listeners. Like you said, it is a common situation, but you know, I don't hear anybody talking about it. So thank you for bringing this awareness to your listeners. So a mom without a mom is a mom that is separated from her own mother by either death, physical distance, or emotional estrangement. So, you know, I think it's kind of obvious those moms that don't have their mother because they've died, right? But those moms who are estranged have had, in many cases, to make the very difficult decision to disconnect that relationship because, like you said, it was toxic or unhealthy and potentially even abusive. And so they do not have that go-to person that many other mothers have. And then the mothers that are separated from their mom by physical distance would include moms that are in the military, that are part of international schools, or just simply live in a different place in the world than their own mother. And again, although they are able to perhaps communicate by, you know, telephone or internet, they still don't have that readily accessible assistance that so many other mothers do. So those moms without a mom all experience this sense of loss of having something that they had wanted to have. So again, it could be because of death. It could be because the relationship with their mother isn't what they would want it to be now that they are moms, or they're just not physically available.
Yeah, it's there's all kinds of situations that can create a mom without a mom. So how did you become interested in working with moms without a mom?
Well, through my own story, honestly, I was not aware that this would be an impact. So I was a later in life mom. I, as you had mentioned, I'm a clinical psychologist. So I was very focused on my career and did not become pregnant until my mid 30s. Unfortunately, I had three miscarriages prior to being able to carry my fourth pregnancy to term. And actually, that was a close call. I went into labor at 26 weeks, so was on bed rest. So it was a very complicated, high risk and dangerous pregnancy. And it was at that time that I discovered just how difficult things were for me, not having one person that would be there to assist. I had nobody to ask questions of. I had friends, but I didn't have any other family, either close to me physically, or my mother had passed away. My mom was had passed 15 years prior to my son's birth. And for most of my life, we had a very good relationship. We were very close. But unfortunately, we had a significant falling out in my young adulthood. And at the age of 25, my mother passed away after the two of us had not been speaking for over 8 months. So it was a difficult estrangement that we had undergone for a number of reasons. And then she passed. So there was no time to work through that. So 15 years later, clinical psychologist, you know, own my own practice. In fact, I even taught graduate level child and human development. So here I am, this professional who thinks she has everything together, married, you know what I'm doing. I have this baby. And all of a sudden, I am completely and utterly lost. I had no idea just how difficult this situation would be. I had never held a newborn baby until I held my son. I didn't even realize that was the case until I held my newborn son. I didn't know anything, and I didn't know who to ask. All of my friends that had children, their children were much older. They were either graduating high school, some were in college. I mean, peers of mine were having grandchildren at this point. So I was out of sync. So here I was, not knowing anything of how to take care of my baby. I was feeling alone. I also didn't know what it was like to be a mom. I didn't have my own mother to talk to about that. And so I was missing my mom. I was angry at my mom for things that we had gone through, but very much missing having that person. And so I was dealing with grief. I was struggling with not knowing what to do, and feeling very much alone.
Yeah. For me, it had been years since my trauma really happened. And my relationship with my mom was, it was in and out. She would come around whenever she, when it was convenient for her. And I grew up being so desperate for my mom to want a relationship with me, for my mom to want to get to know me. And that never happened. So when I had my daughter, all kinds of fear came up around me causing the pain that I had experienced on my daughter. And I couldn't do that. I couldn't live with myself if that were to happen. And it took me a long time to even open up to anybody about it, because the sheer thought, the thoughts that I was having, I'm going to hurt my daughter like I was hurt, and I can't do that. That makes me a bad mom. I felt like a bad mom. I was
right.
I was like 2 weeks out of the gate, and I was beating myself up. And it came to the point where I had to realize that I am not my mom.
Right. And that fear is real. And those thoughts about what you've experienced, what your past was like, how is that going to impact your present? Absolutely. And those thoughts and those memories can come flooding back without realizing it. And some of those thoughts and memories can be pleasant, but some of them can be really painful. And then that takes us away from being present with our child. And the more we think about those and get stuck on those thoughts and memories, the more disconnected we're feeling from our own mother journey. Absolutely. And you know, one of the things, Emily, that I think is so important for particularly moms that have estrangement is that those kinds of thoughts and emotions can occur at different ages as your children grow. So for example, if there was a particular event that happened in your life, like, you know, a particular abandonment or rejection, or, you know, an abuse story that happened when you were entering kindergarten, or your first date, or any of those events, your mom left when your parents divorced and wasn't in your life when you were 12. Those kinds of things, when your children get to those ages, you may notice all of a sudden those fears, those thoughts become intense again. And that actually is typical for individuals that go through these types of experiences. So I want listeners to know, if that is happening, it's not because there's something wrong with you or you haven't dealt with your stuff. It's just that's part of how our brain works. It recalls memories during times that similar things are occurring.
Yeah. And I've found for me that I will deal with a certain emotion or situation and all will be good. And then it'll come back and I'll have to deal with another part of it. It's very onion-esque.
Yes.
It's very onion-esque. Just keep pulling back the layers. Don't get hard on yourself. Give yourself grace and know that it's okay to keep pulling back the layers and healing the whole wound.
Yes. Yes. And you don't have to be scared of those memories or thoughts. They are just a part of who you are, right? And you can do something with those. I talk all the time about honoring those thoughts and memories and putting them in a place that is no longer hurtful or harmful to us. So I use a lot of imagery in you know, my own personal life, but as well as with the work that I do with people. One of the examples I use is when you have a thought or a memory that you're uncomfortable with, you can imagine putting it in a box, right? Or maybe a balloon or whatever image pops up in your head. and then you put it aside. You don't get rid of it because our brain doesn't process that very well. And we can reject that if there's, you know, a reason that we're not ready to get rid of it. So, but putting it aside tends to be much gentler and easier for our brain to handle. So if you think about the impact that something in a box put in a closet in your spare room has in your life, it's very different than what something in the middle of your living room has. So you don't want to be tripping over it and there looking at it every day. No. But you put it aside where it's not impacting you. Then at some point, right, then you can unpack it again, address it when you're able to, when you have the energy, when you have the support, okay? Mm-hmm. But when they come and you're not in a place to be dealing with it, like at your child's ballet recital, mm-hmm. you know, those thoughts of what your mother did at your ballet recital may not be the best time to go through that. So just kind of acknowledge it, put it aside, and refocus.
Yeah. So what do you recommend for moms without a mom whose memories of their mom are getting in the way of them being present and enjoying being a mom? I know when I first became a mom, I actually hated it. I hated Aww. Being a mom because I didn't, mm-hmm. all of the emotions and associations that I have with a mom were so negative. I didn't want to be part of that. So I've had to deal with go through a lot of that and mm-hmm. put a lot of it, like you said, in a box and shove it way underneath the bed. So it's got dust bunnies. So what would you recommend?
Well, you know, first, I think it's so important to recommend that what we've experienced in life is just part of who we are. Mm-hmm. It doesn't define all of who we are. And so as we move forward in our motherhood journey, it's really important to take deep breaths and look at what we're experiencing in this moment. Okay. Be mindful of those thoughts that are getting in the way. So those, whether they be memories or whether they be those negative self-statements or those fears, I'm going to do to my child what my mom did to me, or, oh no, am I giving my child enough in case I'm gone and she doesn't have me in her life? Those types of thoughts and fears can get in the way. And so recognizing that that is not where we are in this moment. So we don't live life in our past and we do not live life in the future. We only live life right here in our present. And so that's where we need to put our attention. Mm-hmm. Now, that is a skill that we build over time, right? So our mind is always wandering. You just simply bring it back to where we are right now. And to do that, focusing on senses is really helpful. Mm-hmm. And getting support from those people around us that we can trust and rely on helps to do that as well. Now, I mentioned earlier about how many moms without a mom feel like they don't have a go-to person. And that's very true. We often don't have one person, but we can get those needs met by spreading it out a little bit. And one of the challenges is really looking at who are the helpers in our life and what are their strengths. So for example, who is the person in your life who's wise, who can answer the questions and understands what to do in certain situations? So that may be one person, your wise woman. Then you may also have somebody who is your go-to girlfriend that you call up and you can just vent about anything. She's got your back. She will listen without judgment. That is wonderful. And then there may be that other friend who, when you are just overwhelmed and can't get everything done, she will drop whatever and just pick up your laundry, bring it home, do it, and then drop it back off. Now, these three people may not be the same person, right? The person I go to that can get things done isn't necessarily the person I can go to who I can pour my heart out to, right? And it's important for us to recognize that we can't, nobody, or most of the time, one person isn't everything for us. And so when we recognize those people in our life, what they're good at, and then we ask them to help us in ways that they're good at, it becomes really simple, right? Mm-hmm. We can get our needs met while leaning on people in ways that they are able to assist us. And I know for me, you know, high achiever, you know, able to do a lot, it was extremely difficult for me to ask for help. But the reality is, you know, if there are four people in our life and we ask one thing of them once a month, that means we've got somebody helping us once a week. And that feels reasonable, not only for me as the person receiving help, but I mean, let's face it. Most of us, no matter how busy we are, can give an hour to a friend once a month. Right? Yeah. I don't think any of us would bat an eyelash about helping somebody once a month. Now, you know, again, you don't necessarily need to say, I'm going to need your help once a month, right? But in our own mind, when we get caught up in creating this community around us, mm-hmm. you know, we feel like we don't want to burden other people. Mm-hmm. But that's silly. We aren't burdens. We're human beings, right? Uh-huh. We are, we have value and are worthy of being assisted. So, to rephrase that, we are worth, you know, reaching out to others. And I would recommend that we look at the people in our life and what their strengths are, and we ask them to help in ways that make sense for them.
Awesome. So many of our listeners had troubled relationships with their moms. What is helpful for them when memories surface? I think we've kind of touched on this a little bit already, but if you want to dive into that a little bit more.
Absolutely. First of all, if you've had troubled relationships with your mom, particularly when you were a child and it was abusive, your fight or flight mechanism is going to be easily triggered, uh-huh. right? As you've talked about and your listeners have heard, right? This happens and you may not even recognize it. So the first thing to do is just give yourself messages that you are safe in this moment and that you are okay. Because if your body is triggered, mm-hmm. your reaction is going to be a little bit off. And so you just want to first calm and then redirect your attention to the present. And if you need to take 20 minutes to let your body settle down, go ahead. But you aren't going to be able to think clearly mm-hmm. if your body is being triggered. So that's the first thing. Make sure that you're always kind of checking in with yourself. Where are you? And know that doing that does not mean there's something wrong with you. It just means your brain has done an amazing job protecting you. Mm-hmm. And you know, that is a wonderful, healthy thing that's occurring. And it's just trying to help you be the best you that you can be. You just need to quiet it down a little bit, right? And then remind yourself that you are separate from what you've experienced. Mm-hmm. And that you can be different and just keep going. And most of all, be compassionate, right? When we don't have a role model, trying to figure things out on our own is more challenging. So when you see other people that just seem to come natural, that seem to be calm, cool, and collected and have it all together, don't worry. You don't need to be that. If you are different, it is perfectly fine. You know, we just haven't had that same background, and that's all well and good. Our way is different. And, you know, the path to resilience can only begin when we've overcome a hardship and persisted. Mm-hmm. We do not become resilient unless we've experienced something difficult. And so if you are a mother without a mother, you absolutely have gone through something that is very difficult. So, mm-hmm. be patient and compassionate with yourself.
Yeah. Give yourself grace.
Absolutely.
Because you are stronger than you even give yourself credit for.
Yes.
What are some things that moms can do to feel less alone? Because motherhood all on its own, even when you have a mother, can be lonely. And then you add in the element of being a mom without a mom. It can be a lot. So what can we do to feel less?
First and foremost, you know, that's why I'm so glad that you're doing, you know, having me as a guest is I think it's so important for those moms to realize that they aren't alone. There's lots of us out there. You know, I invite people to reach out to me and connect. Let's create this community. And then also reach out to those that you know in real life. Mm-hmm. So like I was saying, try to connect with friends that you know can be helpful. But if you don't have those individuals, then go ahead and look at, you know, look in, you know, in your social media. There are definitely groups, you know, there are different hashtags that include lots of other individuals that are cycle breakers, that are moms without a mom, you know, and moms supporting moms. You know, we can, you know, connect together, but first and foremost, know that what you're feeling is more common than you realize, and support is out there. The other thing is to not feel badly if you need to reach out and get professional help. There is a lot of support and help out there. You can see a therapist, either a psychologist or a counselor. You can see a life coach, right? Mm-hmm. Like yourself, mm-hmm. you know, that help moms go through difficult experiences in life. So I really encourage listeners that if they're needing or wanting some additional support to reach out, there's lots of people out there that are capable of helping, and it's well worth your time.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything you would like to offer our listeners today if they're listening and they're thinking, I would like to connect with Melissa? Where would they find you?
Yes, absolutely. Well, there's a couple things. First, I have some free things to offer your listeners. I have a free guide that's called Caring for Yourself While You Care for Your Baby. And it is designed for moms with infants it includes 6 strategies of caring for oneself when they can't step away from their child. So for like me, I didn't have anybody to watch my child for me time alone. So I had to find ways of kind of taking care of myself while still having my child with me. So that's a great guide for those of your moms that are with infants. And then I also have another guide that's free to listeners that is called Enjoying Motherhood Again guide. So this provides a 5-step process of how to become present and enjoy being a mom again when those distracting and painful thoughts of your own mother creep in. So those are available, and I will make sure I give you those links. My website, I have a website, momswithoutamom.com. And you can also follow me on Instagram, Melissa Riley Psy-D. And, you know, I'm sure you'll link that in the show notes as well. But I'd love to connect with anybody interested following me. And later this fall, I'm actually going to create a program just for moms without moms.
Awesome. Yeah. So I'll link all of those freebies, Melissa's website and her Instagram feed over at my blog. So the link for that is in the description of this episode. You can click on over there and get all of your freebies and follow Melissa on Instagram. Melissa, thank you so much for joining me today. I have thoroughly enjoyed talking with you, and I look forward to connecting in the future.
Thank you so much, Emily. I've really enjoyed it too. And thanks for all that you're doing.
Oh, thank you.